Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
It speaks to the direction of where we could have went in that four-game slide. And I thought it revealed a lot of who we were as a team and who we are as people. No one, not one time started pointing fingers. No one started blaming. I hate blamers. I hate people that hate's a strong word, but I dislike blamers and people that try to throw blame on others. We never did that. Coaches, players, everybody. We just tried to come up with solutions. That part's what I took from it. It put us now in a position where we are playing some meaningful games. That's a credit to our players for battling through that. So it just makes you proud to be their coach.
Okay.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What a great choice of music. The music bed there in the background as he's talking, you hear the car crash. And it kind of felt like that to me, to be brutally honest with you. Like, now we're congratulating ourselves for not quitting and falling apart when it's your occupation. And I don't like blamers. Like, what the hell are you talking about? I mean, I like winners, okay? I like winners. I like when you win. I like when you have like a great season, you get to the playoffs, you have disappointment, and you know what? You're coming back and you're going to win a Super Bowl. I like that whole idea. The follow-through aspect, a little bit short, Coach.
I know what you're saying.
Come on.
I do understand that.
There's a self-congratulations that he kept the team together when that's his damn job.
But I think he's answering the question in the context of how did you hold the team together? And I think when you do that, it acknowledges the fact that this was a team that was close to splintering. And so, okay, I would have preferred him say, you know, take a different approach. We haven't accomplished anything yet. We're still in the process of climbing out of a hole we dug for ourselves. And talk to me in, you know, at the end of this month of December, then I'll be able to tell you how well we held things together. Because the Bears still have the capacity to go deeper into that hole and to find out exactly what they are made of, because if you're playing games that don't matter in December, that's when you start to see things kind of, that's a test of a coach's control over a team.
Are you playing games that matter?
Yeah, you are.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Are you? Because
mathematically.
We'll find out tomorrow if you are.
Well, you know, but it's the NFL. I mean, you don't want him to go up there.
He also said that Mitch has played well in the last four games. He's seen great improvement. He pulled him out of a game at the end of one of those games, and they scored 7 points in that game. Come on, now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not defending Matt Nagy. Don't back me into that corner.
Are we congratulating ourselves for what exactly? For the disappointment this year has been a huge, huge disappointment, and to come out and say that I'm with you. You know, give me coach speak then if you got to answer that question. Don't give me this kind of. Oh, well, you know, did you see how dominant we were against the two teams that have a combined 5 wins? Come on, man.
Right. Yeah, he could have handled it better.
You want to talk like that? Do it after you get this 4-game winning streak here to close out the year. Get to 10 wins, and I'm going to say, way to go, Coach. Great job.
You've got to approach this game as if it does mean something to your season, though. You've got to approach
game. It's your season.
As if it is a must-win scenario.
It is.
And it's December. And you're heading into a month where that is, you know, you want to be playing meaningful football in December because there are enough teams that aren't. And the teams that aren't typically change their coach, change their quarterback, they change something. And the Bears want to cling to this, you know, this notion that they can still get to the playoffs. And once they get there, anything can happen. Now, does that sound like a pipe dream? It does from the outside looking in. But if you're in that bunker, I think you do want to hear your coach present things the way that he's presenting them in a positive way. It sounds like nonsense to the rest of us, maybe, but in that locker room, I think it's what they want to hear.
I understand that he likes to put a positive spin on everything, And that's how he's wired to look at to be upbeat and look at the good and all of it. I get all that, but it just comes across to me as a little self-congratulatory. Well, we didn't, how about this? We may have lost four games in a row. We may have lost a couple of games we had no business losing. We may have faced a tough opponent at home that we really needed to beat, and we fell flat on our face. But, boy, we never splintered. I mean, really? Coach, you're having a terrible year. Just wait on that stuff. Be positive in the locker room. I get it. Go into the meetings and talk about how great it is that you stayed together and all that. But don't sell that to me when you're 6-6 and you've lost some games that you got no business losing. And I'm sorry, I am a blamer. Okay. I will blame you for that happening. And that's right. That goes with the territory.
Okay. I think he's being consistent with his personality. I think he's not trying to be something he isn't. And if he came out there and was that guy, then I would understand it and I would respect it and it would be more accurate. But I don't think that you're getting what he
just a little too he is seashells and balloons for me.
He's a seashells and balloons guy. He always has been, though, since he got here. And when you're 12-4, it's a lot easier to be positive. And he does try to put a happy face on things that aren't always happy. And I do, I think he has stretched the boundaries in terms of optimism when he's talking about Mitch Trubisky specifically. Last two games you can build on, but when you go back to the Rams game and you want to include that.
If you get this done, David, then strut around all you want.
Yeah, it's a big challenge. I mean, it's a big challenge because the Cowboys come in with their offense and you're injured and you're going to be down, potentially three starters that you thought you would have at the beginning of the season. And Amukamara is a problem. And how they replace him is going to be one of those areas that you figure the Cowboys will try to expose. Because if you got either a rookie, he's not a rookie anymore, Kevin Tolliver replacing Amukamara, or Duke Shelley playing the nickelback and Buster Screen going outside, there's one of 11 guys on that Bears defense that you feel like you can exploit.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. We got a lot of people who want to check in about the 5 at 5. We'll start with Alex. Alex is in Hyde Park. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, good morning. I wanted to bring a different opinion on the whole Zach Wheeler thing. I'm not on board on the whole starting pitching thing, overpaying for dollars and overpaying for years. Rome wasn't necessarily built in a day. And even if you look at the Astros, Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander, those were both trades. You can even look on the other side of town with Cole Hamels. That was a trade. Castellanos even was a trade. There will be guys that will become available, and I don't feel the need that we have to go get Zach Wheeler. He's one of the better guys available out there now, but typically when teams get themselves in trouble is when they go dipping into the free agent market for pitching, like going and getting guys like Tyler Chatwood and Craig Kimbrell and Brandon Morrow and Yu Darvish. I'd rather see the Sox trade for that. I'm on board with Jock Peterson. Love the Yasmani Grandal deal. I'd be on board with a Cole Hamels, even if 2 years, $30 million, give them 15 per, just to stabilize the rotation to start the year. Then see what becomes available after the first couple of months, and then also see exactly what we have out there for needs. That's a better path for the White Sox. And then hold in our back pocket, if we're going to overpay, wait for the Red Sox pitching staff to implode and Mookie Betts to come on the market as a rental player. You've got the kids to go get him at that point, and then if you're going to overpay, take the $20 million a year that you were going to give Zach Wheeler and overpay for Mookie Betts. Because we've got three or four kids in the organization right now who are going to be better than Zach Wheeler 2 years from now and ain't going to cost $20 million a year.
All right, Alex, thank you.
Thanks for the phone call.
I don't want to say that there's local bias there, but the Cubs, when he's talking about the Cubs players, and John Lester worked out, right? I mean, didn't that work out with your pitching staff? Didn't that kind of solidify your pitching staff going out and getting someone who bought into what you wanted to do? I'm not saying Zach Wheeler is Lester, but I think it would be an impact signing. And the fact that you have these young guys under control is the reason that you can spend the money that they're talking about in free agency.
Yeah, I don't agree with anything he said. I just don't. Okay. I don't think.
Well, who just won the World Series?
I mean, I don't.
The Nationals signed Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
You need starting pitching.
I appreciate his phone call and his passion for the White Sox, but nothing he said made sense.
Let's try Frank. Frank's in the West Loop. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I call in every couple weeks, and I called in. You guys get a million phone calls, but I was the one that made the comparison between the White Sox organization and the Bears organization with keeping people too long and this and that. You know, I feel that Kenny Williams and Rick, they were off to a great start. I think that's, you know, all we're going to get. You know, once again, now we're right back to the talk of this and talk of that. And the one call, the caller just before me had one good point. The Sox are very comfortable, and as fans, we should be comfortable with what we have, you know, that's going to grow our organization. I feel like Kenny Williams, they made their little boost. And that's it. The rest of the season is going to – I mean, the rest of the off season is just going to be talk on who's out there and who we're going to get.
No, you're wrong too. I'm sorry. I mean, look, this is the beginning of something that they feel like is going to be a bold off season. Yasmani Grandal is not the last signing. It's not the last move. It's not the last addition. And if he is, then shame on everybody because they are lying to us. I don't think they're lying to us. I think they mean it. It's the beginning – of a process, and maybe or whatever stage of the process we're in, but it is December 4th, and you can't judge the White Sox offseason or their ability to talk through things and not produce results on December 4th. I think they're going to be aggressive. They're in every discussion about the guys that matter. Zach Wheeler, okay, would you like him to be in on Strasburg and Garrett Cole? Absolutely, you would. Not sure how realistic it is. Zach Wheeler's realistic. Castellanos realistic. Jack Peterson, realistic.
Let's try Crazy Paul. He's listening online.
Hey, Crazy Paul.
Hey, how's it going this morning?
Good.
Crazy.
Man, I am so upset. I live out here in North Dakota. I'm on an island, and I got to put up with all these Vikings and Packer fans. I'm going to tell you right now, if anybody thinks that the Bears have a chance at going to the playoffs, they're out their mind. This is a lackluster, horrible season. Where's Mac at? Ever since Hick went down, I mean, nothing's going on with our defense. They're falling
Quit
apart.
Quit yelling.
I mean, this is ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
Oh, Crazy Paul. You're awesome.
If you're in North Dakota and you're on an island, you might want to not step outside your front door.
Maybe he's in a pool.
It sounds like trouble.
I don't think I've ever been to North Dakota. I think that's one of the few states in our blessed country.
I have not.
That I've never set foot in.
I have not checked that box.
Yeah. There's no real, I don't want to insult him, but there's no real, like, professional sports anywhere there. I don't know. What's the college draw, right? Well, I'm just saying, as
hockey
a sports
baby.
Writer, as a hockey, David should have gone there.
Hockey baby. And
but
then
I've been to Rapid City, or not, what, is it Rapid City? Where is?
South Dakota?
Yeah. That's where I've been. And it was, there's not a lot there. And I was talking to someone who said, oh, you ought to go to North Dakota. I mean, really? But I went to see the Presidents, right? That's pretty cool.
Mount Rushmore?
Yeah. On my Mount Rushmore of Mount Rushmores, that's number one.
That's number one, yeah.
How about a Mount Rushmore of Bears quarterbacks? Could you even fill it? Could you fill?
Oh, wow.
Are there four worthy Bears quarterbacks for a Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks?
I know David has Jeff George and Rex.
Rex.
Hoosiers.
Well, then you have to add Cuddy.
Did David Bowden play quarterback for the Bears?
No. Luckman, McMahon.
Jay. Yeah.
Jay.
Jay based on what? That he won a playoff game against a 7-9?
Jay based on, you would just get that face
but
up
see
there.
How, like, but see how hard
like
it
that
is?
That negative face.
Good look.
Like that charter, frown.
This is kinda, the charter franchise of the best professional sports league in the history of sports leagues.
What?
And you can't come up with four quarterbacks.
Bill Wade.
You come up with them.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh. He had a great year with the Colts.
Really?
Just making a joke.
Stenstrom.
Steve Stenstrom. You could easily come up with the anti. Who is – so what is the Mount Rushmore of Bears quarterback?
It's something to think about.
It's definitely Sid Luckman.
Let's
He'd have
Les
to have a larger
maybe we'll
face
do crosstalk with
rest.
Les tomorrow and ask.
Yeah.
Okay.
No shot.
You know, we're not really going to get much into that.
312-644-6767. It's Molly and Haw on the score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
If you play well and you don't have great numbers, that's fine if you win, right? We want to win. That's the number one objective. Are you helping your team win? Is the big one. Are you making right decisions? And are you making plays when asked to make plays? And that's not just the quarterback. That's everybody. And so if you have a nice statistical game with that, it's you're going to feel good about it. And because it makes you feel like you've really helped the team win.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That is Matt Nagy talking about the quarterback.
I'm totally with you. I don't disagree.
Yeah, we got a texter checking in saying he's like a doctor comes out and says, listen, we had a fantastic operation. It was unbelievable. The surgeon did everything humanly possible. Patient died. But my God, what a fantastic performance from the surgeon.
And he was describing there, I think, the approach that he wants Mitch Trubisky to take, you know, against a Cowboy defense that this is stunning to me. They are 6-6, and they are in first place in a terrible division. But the fact that they have gone four games without a turnover, they have gone four games without getting a turnover, 255 snaps. This is not a defense that is going to force you into making a mistake based on that. So that's that is the minimum that you have to expect from your quarterback. Do not throw the, oh my gosh, did he throw that interception? Do not make that decision that you regret, because that is how you give a, you know, struggling defense hope. That is how you give a team that's reeling a reason to believe they can win and be better than they have been. The Cowboys aren't doing things that winning football teams do. So keep that the case tomorrow night.
312-644-6767. Let's try John. John's in Joliet. Hey, John.
Morning, John.
Good morning, guys. To be honest, I really can't believe I'm this excited to watch a 6-6 football team try and be 7-6. Right. I mean, I don't know if Nagy realizes everybody's watching these games, and he's got Ricardo Montalban in the white suit and a black tie on Fantasy Island. This guy's just trying to pass some garbage off to us, and we all know it's not true. I mean, it's just so frustrating that I love this team so much that I want them to win, and if they lose, it's going to break my heart as well as everybody else, but good God, 7-6, and we're going to try and be excited about it? Come on, Nagy, get your head out of here, bud.
Yeah, thanks, John. They're 6-6, and I guess they
If he's Ricardo Montalban, then is it like Tariq Cohen screaming the plane?
The plane. No.
Who would be the?
I think he's the shortest guy that you're talking about in that locker room. So maybe he would, be the one.
Just by default, it would fall to him.
Look, do people want John Fox back? I mean, I understand that when you have a coach that's trying to project something that may not be there, it's frustrating to listen to. The positivity can be annoying at times. But I don't want a guy who's going up there, not sharing anything and not seeing anything.
But David, there's a lot of gobbledygook.
Yeah,
It really is.
Yeah, there is.
And to me, this is just more of it. This is just a guy that really has no answer to a question. So he's I don't know what he's doing. I really don't know what he's doing. I don't understand why you would do that at this point in the season. I don't know why you'd feel great that the team. I mean, it tells you how close they were, I guess, to completely turning. But that's all I take out of it. I don't know that I can say congratulations, coach. You really proved you deserve that Coach of the Year award last year with the fact that your team didn't completely fall apart.
I didn't go there, but that's okay. I think he was answering a question from the NFL Network. Did a report about what, I think how the Bears got through the difficult time in their season. And I think if you ask me, they're still in a difficult time in their
season.
That's
what I was just saying.
Yeah. But
they are. They're still in a difficult time.
Right.
They put themselves in a difficult time in their season. And I guess he's just answering the question. Let's try Billy. Billy's in Rockford. Good morning, Billy.
Hey, Billy.
Hey, good morning, guys. On the Bears Mount Rushmore quarterbacks with Jay Cutler, you'd have to put him on the end, right? You'd have to work in the shoulder twist somehow. That's a staple of his. Have a good one, guys.
And somebody else texted in, would it be smoking Jay Cutler? Would you have to kind of like carve in
so
the cigarette?
Unbelievable. You know what's interesting about Jay, and it's fascinating, is that he could make, Jay is representative. He could make a Mount Rushmore of the worst eras of quarterbacking for the Bears. As good as Jay was physically and as talented as he was representative of sort of this disappointment that we've civically endured at that position over the years, right?
Yeah, definitely. He could be mentioned in your top four by many people and your worst four.
Well, and obviously he's a lot better than your worst four. They've had terrible quarterbacks here.
But some people
in terms of what you were expecting and what you got, 26-year-old Pro Bowler comes to a team with a world-class defense and it just never actually works out, right? I mean, it was ups and downs and mainly downs and a little bit of up. And, I thought they were correct to make the move, and I thought it made sense when they gave him his contract. It's the third contract of his career, the second one in Chicago, that you just throw your hands up and wonder why.
Yeah, he didn't. It was in a game against the Browns at the end of a meaningless season that he played well, and I think that convinced Phil Emery to give him another bite at the apple, so to speak. But Jay still, I think, if you are talking about, Dustin said that the Mount Rushmore, he's one of your four guys.
I mean, Sid Luckman is obviously the greatest quarterback in Bears history. Anybody remember him? Anybody alive when he played?
No.
Anybody, have you ever seen tape of him?
Very short.
Did they have tape?
But could I put Eric Kramer in there?
Yes.
Because that year, that was a spectacular, the numbers they put up.
He literally broke his neck playing for the Bears.
Right. That was a great year. I know it was very short-lived.
Jeff Graham. That year
went when Jeff Graham. How many playoff wins did Eric Kramer win? Or how many playoff games? Because you're slagging Jay for only winning the one. How many did Kramer have?
But that's the whole below point. 500 team.
That's the whole point, Kevin. That position, Dustin brings it up. That we have seen nothing but eras of disappointment with that position.
If you put Jay in his prime on this 2019 Bears team, they would be running away with this division right now. I have no doubt in my mind. He is so much better than Mitch at pretty much everything. Knows how to read a defense. He knows what to do in the room with everybody. As long as you got Josh McCown there with him,
too.
He'd throw plenty of picks.
Yeah, in the red zone.
Hey, gotta play. Gotta pay to play, right?
with Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Pompey, his name is writ in the Hall of Fame, and he joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Morning, Dan.
I'm great, fellas. How are you today?
Oh, we're feeling good about life. You know, everything is peachy keen, and we're just amazed that the Bears managed to stay together to make this playoff run. Just great stuff. Fantastic. What's your take on where they're at in terms of the consistency of the quarterback? I mean, you know, I understand that Mitch has played better. The two opponents haven't been very good, but the last two games have been good, and certainly watching him kind of help them to get a victory last week, a very important win for them. Where are they at, though? Where are they at? Where is he at? What's your take going into this Dallas game?
Well, I think everything really is ahead of him based on how we are going to remember his performance in the season, because these are the games that count. These are going to be the performances and the throws that count for him. Nothing else and everything else will be forgettable probably if he goes out and beats these teams and performs like a Pro Bowl quarterback. But, you know, the chances of that happening probably are not great. I mean, if you look at who he's performed well against this season, it's been, you know, the teams that really have been struggling defensively. And I think his issue over time has been the lack of consistency. You know, he'll go out one game and perform really well, and then he'll have a bad game. He'll have a good series and a bad series. He'll start poorly and finish strong, or vice versa. You know, so the biggest thing that you need to see from Mitch Trubisky is consistency, and then I think an ability to step up against better competition. So we'll get a better feel, like I said, for everything with Mitch moving forward. But, you know, so far it has not been a great season for him.
Dan, it's a big deal if Prince Amukamara can't play tomorrow night with a hamstring injury against the Cowboys and Amari Cooper. Chuck Pagano typically does not use one cornerback to shadow the other team's best receiver, and they typically stay on one side. When asked about this, you know, possibility of Amukamara not playing, Matt Nagy said, Kevin Tolliver and some other guys, and there's going to be a group effort. But if Tolliver's on the field and the Cowboys see that and they try to exploit him, why wouldn't you use maybe Kyle Fuller to shadow Amari Cooper? Do you think Chuck Pagano's considering that?
Well, I'm sure they're considering everything, and, you know, it might be the type of thing where they go by feel in the course of the game, and maybe they start out playing them straight up, and then they change as the game goes on. Maybe they roll coverage towards him. Maybe they devote, you know, one of the safeties to him as well, or they find another way, you know, to take him out of the game. Maybe they're playing a lot of zone. You know, there's different ways to skin that cat. And the one thing that you wouldn't want to do is sit there and play man-to-man with Tolliver and Cooper every snap. And Pagano won't do that. He doesn't do that against any team, and he certainly wouldn't do that in this situation. You know, but I think, to me, the other part of this whole thing is what you do up front. To me, that's a bigger concern, because this is a pretty good Dallas front you've got there. And I think it's a potential mismatch in the game. And, you know, if the Bears lose that, if you lose up front, you're going to lose in the back end too. If you win up front, it gives you a chance to win in the back end. And I think this game is going to be decided, really, both sides of the ball up front. And, you know, I think the Cowboys have an advantage on both sides.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dan, if you know, if you look at the talent level of each team, let's put it this way. If I said to you, you can pick the roster of either of these teams, and you're the general manager, which roster do you take?
Well, you know, I have to take a good look at each, but I'll say this: neither roster has played up to their potential, right, and played up to their expectations this year. They've both been disappointments, so I think both.
You'd pass both on the job. Yeah, the imaginary exactly. GM position, not for you.
Exactly. Well, they're the kinds of teams that get GMs and coaches fired, right? Because they don't do what they're supposed to do. You know, going into the season, I think the Cowboys really, like you say, I mean, they had one of the best quarterbacks in the game, one of the best wide receivers, one of the best running backs, probably the best offensive line. You know, a defense that, that looked solid, that had made some upgrades, some great linebackers. You know, they just have not clicked. They've really been a disappointment. And, you know, we'll see how they finish. I mean, they're still in control of their destiny. They're still in first place in the NFC East. This game means a lot to them.
Our conversation with Dan Pompey on this Bears Friday, which is really a Wednesday, is brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. Dan, Jerry Jones said that, in my opinion, Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year. Not exactly a vote of confidence, didn't say where, didn't say what role. How does that turmoil and scrutiny and constant speculation have any effect, if it does, on tomorrow night's game?
Well, I think it's something the Cowboys are used to, or should be used to, certainly, because you know, this has been going on with them for a long time. Jerry Jones is a very high-profile owner slash general manager who has his own press conference after every game, and he says things. Sometimes he says things that are in conflict with what the head coach says or what the players say. So, you know, it's kind of par for the course of being a Cowboy, you know, and I think, you know, it shouldn't be something that really impacts anybody. I mean, you know, Jason Garrett knows he's coaching for his job, very obviously, and players know that his job is on the line. So what else really matters? They just have to go out and concentrate on their own individual performances and try to win a football game.
Is it accurate, Dan, that if he doesn't get to the Super Bowl, he doesn't keep his job?
I don't know. I mean, Jerry has been very, very patient with Jason Garrett, I think, for a long period of time. I could see a scenario developing in which the Cowboys finish strong and, you know, maybe win a game or two in the playoffs and then lose before getting to the Super Bowl and Jerry keeping him. I think that's a possibility because there is a lot of loyalty in that relationship, you know, going back from the time when Jason Garrett was a player and for the Cowboys for many, many years. And Jerry is very comfortable with him as a head coach. So, you know, the question becomes, are you at a point where you just feel change is necessary, which obviously was the point that David Tepper was at yesterday with the Carolina Panthers when he fired a very good football coach in Ron Rivera. And that's a guy who I think, too, is probably going to be coaching in the NFL next year somewhere. It's interesting watching all the reaction to him being fired. I don't know that I ever remember a guy getting fired and there being such an outpouring of affection for him from so many people. And I think it really says a lot about Ron Rivera, who he is, the man he is, the coach he is, and the people that he's touched. Through the years, every so often, I'll tease Ron and I say, you know, someday you're going to come back and coach the Bears. You know that, don't you? And he always laughs about it. And he says, oh, I'm happy now where I'm at. But, you know, it's not going to happen now because the Bears aren't in that position. But someday you could see it happening. The McCaskies, like everyone else, are very fond of Ron Rivera. And
Dan, we were talking about it earlier. It's so true. I mean, we both have a lot of respect for Chico, and we were in a lot of affection for him. And we were talking about it every time the Bears need a coach, he's got a job. And every time he's out of a job, the Bears have a coach. It's just like, I'm with you. I always thought it would eventually happen, but they just can't seem to get in sync.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's a possibility, like I say, that at some point in the future, he's still a fairly young man, and there's still time. He's going to be coaching, I think, for a while. So
where?
We'll see what happens down the road. Hey, the thing is, he never should have left Chicago in the first place.
No, that's true, Dan. I mean, when he got fired, that wasn't fair. That's a different story. But where do you think he'll end up, and where are the possibilities? Because we talk about the Cowboys, and they would definitely be a team in play if Ron Rivera is available and they're looking for a new coach.
Yeah, I think it's kind of early to say right now, but I mean, I think you know, if there's an opening with the New York Giants, he'd be a great fit there. I think if there were an opening with the Atlanta Falcons, you know, in the same division that the Panthers are in, I think he'd be a great fit there. You know, Cleveland, maybe, if something happens there.
Detroit?
You know, I think any team that has an opening has got to look hard at a guy who has been a two-time Coach of the Year and taken his team to a Super Bowl and has the respect of, I think, I could say everybody in the National Football League.
Why did he make the move now? I mean, I know what he said. Does that mean Mike McCarthy is lined up? Does that mean he's got an eye on Jim Harbaugh? Does that mean there's going to be a movement from a college guy?
Well, I think he wants to be able to go out and probably start the process of finding a replacement when he knew he was going to make a change anyway, and he can do this now without worrying about getting caught doing it, right? So he'll be out and probably doing his research and trying to find the coach who he thinks is right for the Carolina Panthers.
So what's going to happen tomorrow night, Dan? Who are you picking?
You know, as I said, I think this game gets decided up front, and I like the matchup for the Cowboys up front, both on both sides of the ball. I also think this is a game that the Bears really could have used Akeem Hicks. You know, he's probably going to come back next week, but this is a game they really could have used him. I think Ezekiel Elliott could have a big game. I think, you know, the Cowboys are really going to be stressing going after the football on defense after I heard David saying earlier they haven't had any takeaways in a few games, and they'll probably, you know, they'll be trying to rectify that in this game. So I like the Cowboys in this game, guys. I think they're gonna beat the Bears in a close one, maybe 23-20.
Great stuff, Dan. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
And you didn't ask me about the Mount Rushmore Bears quarterback.
Oh well, so, you know, please jump in. I was kind of joking about it. Give us four quarterbacks.
Well, you got the three are easy, right? You got Luckman, Bill Wade,
yeah,
and Jim McMahon.
Right,
your three championship winners.
Right.
The question is who's your fourth?
Is it?
And yeah,
it's a question.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, who's your fourth?
Statistically, Cutler stands alone. I mean, in terms of if you're looking for a fourth guy to that contingent, there's no other.
Yeah, but he played in a different era, so you're looking at statistics that are skewed.
Okay.
So, you know, the one statistic to me that kind of transcends the eras a little bit is yards per completion. And the guy who holds the record for yards per completion in a career, NFL record, is Ed Brown, 16.4. He's also a two-time Pro Bowler. Took the Bears to the 1956 championship game, which they lost. So, you know, he had a great connection with Harlan Hill in the 1950s. And there's only two guys who were two-time Pro Bowlers other than Luckman, and the Brown and Johnny Lujack, who also, you know, probably is in consideration, but he only played for 3 years before retiring. But if he would have played longer, I think he definitely would have been number four on the Mount Rushmore. But to me, number four is Ed Brown.
You know, what's funny is I was saying that the Cutler problem is that they were so disappointed. You know, you get a 26-year-old Pro Bowler and you go nowhere, and then someone texted in, Mitch is a 25-year-old Pro Bowler.
Are you saying that we should save a spot for Mitch on the Mount Rushmore?
I don't know. Dan, how did Ed Brown treat you at press conferences?
Ed was always a perfect gentleman.
Okay, that's
Ed was a perfect gentleman.
But Sid Luckman was a jerk to you, as I recall.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, buddy.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. That is our guy, Dan Pompey. I'm glad he got that in. I had forgotten about it.
I totally forgot that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have gotten Ed Brown.
No,
right.
You wouldn't have.
He supported it, though. That's good.
No.
It's a good argument.
I mean, listen, the guy literally wrote the book, so I think he knows.
Yeah.
We'll have Don Pearson on next, really get to the heart of it. No, we're going to bring in Rich Campbell. We'll talk about this year's team, and we'll find out what he thinks about tomorrow's game. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.